And welcome to minute 94 of season 3 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Jim O'Kane, the producer of so many different things. Someone who does a lot of movies by minutes, you know. Well, welcome back, Jim.
Exactly. Yeah. You know who I am. You know what I do for a living.
I know who you are. I know. What you do for a living is something else. What you do for fun is a different thing.
No, I don't. Yeah. Yeah. There's no living in this, but I keep sending my tapes in at Joe Rogan, but he never calls back. So it's never going to get the syndication.
No, I look at it from the perspective that people say to me, oh, can't you make money off of this? And I think it would be less fun if you felt that you have to do it, you know, as opposed to you're doing it because it's fun.
I can't imagine. I know there are people that do this for and make quite a good living off of it, but I just can't imagine stopping to talk about what kind of health treatment or vacation spot or food you can have delivered to you in the middle of things. So we'll just roll through and talk about the movie instead.
Correct.
Which I'm sure is available on DVD and Blu-ray. So, but here we are all the way to 94.
Surprisingly, yes. So minute 94, and I've actually, in this minute, I'm surpassing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which was only 93 minutes, you know, so there you go. I will not reach The Great Escape with Die Hard. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to make it to the...
We start backwards and just work for the beginning again. That's the trick.
There you go.
Oh, that would be the way to do Memento. Wow, the Memento movie backwards.
I actually heard someone was planning on doing something like that. I thought I heard that.
Okay.
I don't know who. I vaguely recall reading something about that, probably on the Facebook group, that someone mentioned Memento and that they wanted to do it that way. Have you ever seen Memento in chronological order?
Yes.
Yes, I have too.
No, I've never. I'm sure it's been edited, but.
No.
I've never seen it.
On one of the DVDs, I mean, this I had this DVD 20 something years ago. You know, I don't have it anymore, but there was a special, there was an Easter egg that if you do certain things, I don't remember even what it was, you know, you click on two or three different things in a row, then it will play the movie in chronological order.
Wow. Okay. That I would like to see.
Yeah, which was really cool to watch. It's not as interesting as, you know, the way that the movie, you know, really works, but it's interesting to watch it that way too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll have to find the DVD and try that out.
It reminds me, True Romance. Have you ever seen True Romance? It was written by Tarantino. That was the script that Tarantino sold in order to be able to finance Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, okay.
It was directed by Tony Scott, and it's one of my favorite movies. Ah. It's a great movie with Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette. It's got a great cast besides the two of them also, but Tarantino's original script started off in the middle of the movie, in the middle of the story, and then you have like flashbacks and stuff like that. But when
much like Pulp Fiction,
then. Which not in chronological order. And Tony Scott didn't like that idea, and when he edited the movie, he edited it the way that he wanted it in chronological order. So they actually have the Tarantino cut where you can see it out of order. And I mean, different things happen to some of the characters along the way. Also, there are scenes that they filmed that they were able to put in and stuff like that. And it was very interesting watching it. But as much as I love Tarantino for his writing and the way that he does it, I still think that Tony Scott got it right there.
Wow. Well, that's like, I think the most recent out of order film I can think of is Dunkirk, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And the movie just, it goes, you know, A to B or A to C, and then it goes back to B, and then it just heads on toward D. And it's very confusing when you get to the middle of the film and all of a sudden it's starting over again or starting in a different location. And like, what happened? And there's no inclination, you know, indication that that's what's happened. So it's just kind of a bit of a puzzle in the middle, but that's, you know, Christopher Nolan being Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
I was going to say while we're back in Die Hard, one of my favorite Alan Rickman, DVD, Easter eggs is the, language, choices on Galaxy Quest. There's a place in it where you can click on one of the language choices, and it turns out it's the entire movie is dubbed in Thermian. So you have all these things whistling and screaming, but they're all timed to people's lip movements. And you're hearing this as they're going through the entire Galaxy Quest movie, but it's in the alien language. And it's,
oh wow, I know that
somewhere
this sounds...
I
know this sounds really funny coming from someone like me and you who are, you know, sitting and watching movies this way, but that sounds like a complete waste of time for them to have actually recorded that, you know.
Yeah.
But then we're all crazy in different ways.
And I mean, somewhere there was a sound editor that sat down and for, you know, 2 hours and 5 minutes, they put in every word and actually managed to make it match up with the lip movements. I've never sat through more than about 30 seconds of it, but it's just, you know, if you skim through it, you're like, they're still doing it. Wow.
Right. Oh,
I'm
wow.
Just, yeah, it's surprising.
Yeah, for sure. So minute 94 begins with Hans raising his hand as he takes the cigarette. Okay. And ends with John putting his hand on a gun. So Yesterday we ended things with the two of them starting up a little conversation. You know, John talks to this stranger. He still doesn't know who he is, to try and, you know, they're chit-chatting a little bit, you know, which is pretty funny that that's what they're doing here. You know, instead of trying to figure out a way of getting out, you know, they're spending a little bit too much time doing this.
Obviously
Hans is trying to keep John there, but I'm saying from John's perspective, this is a waste of time.
Yeah, but it's a They're deciding to have a smoke break. It's been hectic. So
yes.
they're on break. And it does give them a chance to catch up on each other and find out who's who, and also build that tension that we've been feeling since we are organizing sensibility here is Hans, not McClane. So,
right.
We're going to get into, we'll get into the Bill Clay part in a little bit.
Right. Okay. But, so first of all, intriguing. You know, Hans says to him, "You don't work for Nakatomi, and if you're not one of them," and then John says, "I'm a cop from New York," and he goes, "New York? Yeah, got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?" And then, like, he chuckles. And now, first of all, they do a great job of Hans. He's feigning shock by you know, "Oh, New York? What are you doing here from New York?" Like, this is information he already knows.
Yeah.
He's aware of the fact that John is this, you know, Officer John McClane of the New York City Police Department. You know, this isn't so he's does a nice job of feigning surprise because, you know, Bill Clay doesn't know this, but Hans Gruber does, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And as they're talking, there's like a little bit of a pause, and we see a shot of Hans looking down, and then we see John's bare feet, you know, so then, you know, John actually catches him looking at his feet, and he chuckles a little bit and said, "Yeah, it's better than being caught with your pants down, huh?" So, you know, he laughs it off. Now the question is that true? Is it better to be barefoot when you're running around here as opposed to be running around in your underwear? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is winter, but it is California. So,
yes.
And usually, I mean, there's hardly any broken anything on the floor if you're barefoot. So
not yet.
Yeah. But now there's that piece of
information. That'll happen next week, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that information that's been passed back and forth. So Hans now has some information about McClane's weaknesses.
The
other side of it is that we've got to balance that equation. So McClane has to now find something out about this mysterious stranger of, you know, friend or foe. So how do you
correct.
Do that?
So he introduces himself by saying, "I'm John McClane." Like he puts his hand out, you know, to introduce himself, says, "I'm John McClane," and then he goes, And Hans doesn't miss a beat, and he goes, "Clay, Bill Clay," you know, like he's more or less Bond, James Bond. Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like the worst made up name ever too. Just Bill yes, Clay, really?
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does. And then at this point, the camera then zooms in on the floor assignments, I guess you can say. So I actually was able to get a few screenshots, and I was able to make out just about every one of the names on there. Okay, I was able to make out 35 names on this wow. board. Okay, how many of those 35 do you think are part of the production that I was able to find? It's possible I missed some of the names.
I'll go with at least 28.
Nope, I only found 22.
Oh, okay. I'm sure the other ones are like neighbors or something.
Exactly.
Or
maybe they were people that are just not credited on IMDb. It's possible that they're, you know, they missed some of the credits or something like that.
Yeah, there's somebody in the production office somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable some of the people's names that are on here. You know, you have Joel Silver, you have D'Souza, Jan de Bont is on there. You have the producers of the movie. You know, this is a Gordon production, right? So you have both Gordons here, Charles Gordon and Lawrence Gordon, both appear there. Who else did I find? Again, there are tons of them. So, I mean, I found 22 people that are listed on this board. Okay, obviously there is no Clay. They you know, and Clay is also the only one that I noticed that has a double letter next to them. You know, in order for him to, quickly.
Yeah.
Spotted and
William.
I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit for being able to quickly see the WM and think to himself, okay, that's William. You know, I'm gonna say that that's my name, and I'm gonna use Bill
I was wondering if it was somebody that he may have killed down in the plaza, like did like something we didn't see, but one of the employees around that he just took his identity, that was maybe working with Ellis or somebody that, we didn't see him get killed, but he just knew, he found out about him. That was the thought.
Okay. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I mean, it says that William Clay works on the 29th floor. So,
yeah,
it is possible that this, but it's also, I give Hans a lot of credit. It's a great shot in the dark because he doesn't know who John knows.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
it could be that of these 35 people that I found, and there are more, there's some of them that it's undecipherable, to figure out what their names are.
Yeah. Bill Clay could be his brother-in-law. And we don't know, so it's like,
exactly. You know, Bill Clay is a pseudonym for Ellis. You know, I don't know. And what's interesting is Ellis is not on this list.
Yeah.
And neither is Holly. There's no Gennaro on there. There's the funniest one is there's a guy who every time I come across his name and this isn't the first time that his name appears in the movie. His name is Bruce J. Gefeller, who's the construction coordinator. And whenever I see it, I always think that that's a fake name.
Yeah.
Because his name is Gefeller. That just does not sound like a real name.
Well, I used to work in an office where our department secretary, her last name was Christmas, and her first name was Mary. So she was Mary Christmas.
Seriously?
Mary Christmas. And the worst part of it is that's her married name. She married into it. She went in, eyes wide open. Merry Christmas.
Oh, wow. Well, I was going to say that her parents were really cruel, but apparently not. You know, I think that's a situation where you keep your maiden name,
Call me Debbie. Debbie Christmas. There.
And she's Jewish.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah. So it's, and it's like, wow, how are you? If you sign things, are people going to believe you? And that kind of stuff.
Exactly. But again, I find it amazing that they took the time, the production managers or the property master or whoever deals with this type of stuff, decided to take the time and put all of these names on this board.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody told them to, so Like, here you go. Just use this. Because they know if they put those names on there, they won't get any suits from anybody saying, well, I didn't want my name on there. And it's, you know, you're already going to be in the credits, so you might as well be on the show.
It could be. It could be. So, yesterday we saw part of it also. And at the very end of yesterday's minute, we get a, or maybe it's actually the beginning of today's minute, we get a long shot of the whole, no, it's the very beginning of today's. It's at the 1 second mark. You can see almost the entire board. But it's a little far and it's out of focus. So it's not that easy to see everything there. But we get a few shots where you can see some of these names. And it's great, you know, being able to just find all of these people on there.
Wow.
And they also have, wait a second, they have, does that say Al Powell?
Is it?
Towards the bottom, there's something that says, if you look at the 24 seconds.
Okay.
First of all, you see security.
Yep.
And then below security, it looks like it says Al Powell.
I can't really tell. A little bit of a blur.
A little bit of a blur, but can you see what I'm, can you see that, yeah, that possibly, yeah, is, yeah, saying Al Powell? Yeah.
It's, yeah. And I know that all, you know, it's like, this was during a time when VCRs were available. And although they were only, you know, like 480 resolution, but they must've known that eventually you'd be able to be, you know, step framing through the thing, finding this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I know there are,
yeah,
I know there are lots of directors who actually put stuff like this in their movies because they know that people are going to be later freeze framing stuff and staring at things in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do that well here.
Yeah.
With this one. Like I said, they took their time and put all the names in here. And, you know, William Clay just really stands out there.
Yeah. Wow. but yeah, it just doesn't sound like a name that somebody would have, but there he is.
And again, it's not a real, that's one of the few fake names on the board.
Yeah. Now, and in this, and as he does that, I'm trying to figure out if, as Hans says that, the audience is thinking he's making that up and McClane's going to figure out that he's fake. But then you notice that in the pile of names, there's William Clay. And I think it subverts, yeah, the audience expectation, because you were thinking, oh, McClane's going to find out that he's not real. And then what's he going to do? Is he going to shoot him? Is he going to just lead him on? Or what? But it's like, oh, he actually did think ahead on this one.
No. No. But again, we know that Hans is very intelligent. Yeah. You know, so he, you know, I wonder when he actually looked at the board and was able to quickly, you know, make that decision that I'm going to say my name is Bill Clay.
Yeah, and Clay could have been, in my head canon of this whole thing, is that Clay could have been Hans's network into the thing. They killed him off. He's not, you know, he's no longer in the picture, and he knows he's not going to be there. Or either that, or they paid him off, and he's not going to be at the party. So if he needed an emergency name to take, he'd say Bill Clay. So
wow, that could be. That's great. I mean, last week we did discuss this. We brought it up about the fact that you know, how did Hans know about the bearer bonds? How did he must have had an inside man. So there,
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
The inside man is Bill Clay.
Bill Clay's out of town. So he can come back in one of the endless Die Hard sequels somewhere. It's like, remember me, Bill Clay? Yeah, I got all that money from, I'm the only one that survived. And Hans, you know.
Because Hans paid me off beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's where it could be.
Oh, wow. That is a great, plausible scenario.
Yeah, plausible off-screen action. So, yeah, Bill Clay was going to be out that day. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Bill, why don't you come to the Christmas party? I'm not feeling well.
Yeah. Now you just want to light up a cigar and look at the ceiling and think, yeah, that could work. Yeah, this is, Bill, definitely a possibility for how deep this is. I have never, have you read the novelization? I have not read the novelization.
Yes. No, it's not the novelization.
But there's an original, yeah, the original story.
Nothing Lasts Forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, Nothing Lasts Forever. I read it a few times as a kid. I've skimmed through it now. I haven't reread it. I wanted to, but I do have a copy of it, but I haven't had a chance to really sit down and and read it, because unfortunately, because I'm so busy all the time, when I try and sit and read, I fall asleep. I don't get very far when I'm reading. I guess I need to have like a computer screen keeping me, entertained.
Yeah.
And when I read, I got to read a real book. I don't like reading, on a Kindle or anything like that. For me, it's got to be real pages.
Yeah. I was just wondering, I saw The Detective and.
You've seen the movie,
right? I've seen The Detective, but it doesn't feel. It doesn't feel like the same character to me.
Significantly not at
different.
All.
But
not at all. I mean, the book is, the novel takes place like 10 years later, and he's going to visit his daughter.
Yeah.
His daughter who's divorced. He starts up a relationship with one of the stewardesses on the plane ride, which in this movie we get a little glimpse of McClane looking at the stewardess.
Yeah.
And in the original script, there's actually a short little conversation between the two of them, or actually she comes on to him basically.
Yeah.
In the original script, but in the book, she actually helps him because he calls her.
Okay. Yeah.
And is able to, he's able to get an outside line. The terrorists are, the company, the
company is an oil company.
Like a rich oil company. Yeah. Called Claxon Oil.
Yeah.
And the characters are all a little bit different. Al Powell is a young rookie cop, and Dwayne Robinson is also, he does appear there. I probably should try and reread it.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things that you see which kind of twists and turns they do to get to where this is at.
Right. Like I remember what happens at the end, but I'm not gonna give that away at this point. I'll wait until we get to the end of the movie. We got another 30, we got less than 30 episodes.
Yeah.
We got another 25 episodes to get to the end.
Yeah, we're in the final half hour. And now if you're seeing like the way that, given where we're at right now, in minute 94, given that how McClane thinks, when he hands Bill Clay the pistol, do you think, based on, and I'm only talking up to minute 94, based on what McClane knows in his head, do you think that the gun is loaded or unloaded from where he's at? Do you think that McClane is thinking ahead and it's giving him an unloaded gun, or is he where we're at here?
How can I answer that question?
I don't. Well, I'm just wondering,
because
happened. It's like how do you, like,
are you saying are there any clues to the fact
where does McClane
no.
think? Okay,
no.
I don't think there are any clues here. There's no
indication whatsoever that he does not believe that this is Bill Clay.
Yeah. I mean, other than maybe seeing the European cigarettes he didn't cough or anything, taking one of the cigarettes or not saying anything about them. Like, this is normal.
Right.
But yeah, I was just trying to figure out if there's
But no, there's absolutely no indication here.
There's no indication that he doesn't trust him. So,
no.
Yeah. Now, and then the other thing, I mean, I know this is going to be in future minutes, but the other thing about trust, do you think he would have done that if he thought that Bill Clay was legit? Do you think he would have treated him any differently?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with this. I think like
he knows he needs to be suspicious of everybody.
Yeah, and he doesn't think a civilian with a pistol would be of any assistance here. So the idea,
especially one which tomorrow we'll talk about what type of of range training he has.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just it's intriguing thinking about where he's at or what kind of clues he could have picked up on from Bill Clay.
Right. I mean, for him to give him a gun, to give Bill at least the feeling of safety.
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what he's doing. He wants, if this is really Bill, he wants him to feel safe.
Yeah. It's like, here, now you're protected. Yeah.
Even if his gun is not going to work and he's going to get shot by the terrorists when they come across them. But still, let him at least feel as if
he's participating or something.
and that I trust
Yeah.
him. This is also this is an action of trust.
Yeah. Now, when did he hasn't cleared the weapon or anything like yet. That he's just, I mean,
no,
you
no,
know,
no,
he
no,
just,
no.
just that, that's
tomorrow
tomorrow. Yeah, that's
we'll
tomorrow.
deal with
Yeah,
that
yeah.
tomorrow.
I'm just
Right.
thinking about,
Today, we just see him.
yeah.
We see him handling
Yeah,
the
with the
gun as
yeah, I'm
if
reaching
he's,
into his waistband and pulling, grabbing the pistol. But yeah, I'm just trying to figure out all the things that were going that was going through McClane's mind as he was evaluating Bill Clay of whether he was a habit or not. This would be,
Right. I have a feeling that it doesn't matter to John if this is real Clay or not.
yeah, it's like this is how he's going to treat anybody in that situation. We've
That's right. He wants to give them self-assurance, make them feel that he trusts them, even though he still is somewhat suspicious.
Yeah, and this is one of those places we've talked about this offline and in the past about how in Movies by Minutes, everybody that, when you have a guest on, they've seen the movie front to back, and you're watching a movie and you know how things end, but you still try to put yourself in while you're watching the film. But this might be one of those places where if you have a guest on who's never seen the film, you could ask, quizzing them up about, well, what do you think's going on here? What do you think the stakes are? And do you think he's a good guy, a bad guy?
Yeah.
So that might be a place where ignorance is bliss, that you might get better opinions on things simply because we.
True, but if Alex were to come back and watch this scene, so he wouldn't have seen the other scenes
Yeah.
and he wouldn't know who Hans
Yeah, exactly.
was.
I mean, you need somebody that's watched from minute one to minute 94 and no further. Just stop right there. Yeah.
Exactly. So someone who knows that this is
Yeah.
Hans, but not necessarily know how John is going to react to
Yeah,
Hans.
no,
That's what it comes down to.
exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the that's one of the curses that that we all have, that whenever we see a movie that we love, we've seen so many times, we know everything that's going to happen,
Yeah.
and so we're not surprised anymore.
Yeah, the ten
You know, it
the
always
tension comes out because you're like, these guys live, that guy's gonna die. This is, yeah, and
exactly. No, but I mean, that's why we do movies by
yeah.
minute, because we know what we're anticipating, so we're looking for other things along the way that are hinting towards what we know is going to happen.
Yeah,
You know, that type of thing.
it's
I mean, I remember reading, I don't even remember where I read this a few years ago. It's a somewhat sad story, but it relates to this, that someone posted, maybe it was on Facebook or something about that, about the, you know, that their father had some sort of Alzheimer's, some sort of disease that they would constantly forget things, and they would keep having them. He knew that his father loved the movie The Empire Strikes Back, so he would keep watching it with him every single time, and his father was experiencing it as if he'd never seen it before, and he even videotaped his father's expression every single time when he finds out that, you know, Darth Vader is Luke's
Yeah,
father,
I mean
you know, that
that's
type of thing.
I think that's the popularity of watching, you see a lot of movies or a lot of YouTube videos with kids watching classic films for the first time and like, I didn't know that was gonna happen. Being able to watch that surprise view, it's very enjoyable. I mean, it's another form of the it's kind of the opposite of Movies by Minutes that we sit and dug it all apart. It's like watching somebody just the sheer joy of finding out something for the first time.
Yes, for
But I'm
sure.
glad people still listen to Movies by Minutes shows. Anyway,
Yes, me too, me
fortunately
too,
for us,
me
yeah. Wow.
Keep listening, keep
Yeah,
listening.
wow. Well, this has been a really good minute of tension. Lots of little bits of tension of
Yes.
wondering.
Yeah, I mean, and very, very little happens here. There's a small little conversation, but you know, they're able to build up this tension really well.
Yeah. And inside of a minute too.
Especially, that's right. Whoa, what a
Yeah.
surprise. So, do you have anything else you want to say before we get into the
No,
script?
go right ahead. Let's hear the written word.
Okay, so the script has a few little changes as always. So, McClane, instead of saying "got invited to the Christmas party by mistake," he says "they invited me to the Christmas party." Who knew? So the truth is, I think that is better than what comes out in the movie, because when he says "they invited me," it shows that McClane is suspicious here.
Yeah.
And he's saying that, you know, Nakatomi invited me. You know, he's not
Yeah.
specifically saying,
No, ho
you know,
no, my ex-wife was here. And by the way, her name's Holly McClain.
that's right, my estranged wife
Yeah.
invited me. They invited me, keeping it very, very amorphic, you know, the way that he's doing that. And then it says Hans' eyes take in his bare feet. And then the way he introduces himself is he says, William Clay, call me Bill. And it says, McLean nods friendly-like, and his eyes glance casually over at the wall. And then he looks down and goes through the names there. And the funny thing is that the names that he goes through are the fake names that appear. I mean, it says in the script that he, in alphabetical order, camera moves over the C's, Campbell S, Clay WM, Crawford L. Okay, those three are all fake. You know, those are three that I couldn't find real names of people. So they kept that in the movie by showing that.
You know, one of the editing problem, and I remember this since the first time I saw this film, the editing where they cut in the past couple of minutes where they were up with the HVAC, and McLean tells them, you know, come on with me, and then they go back down to the ground and they're talking with the FBI guys and they go back up to this. In my head, I always thought they were still back up with the HVAC, and it's like, why would they have an employee directory up near the air conditioning?
Right.
It just never quite clicked. But then after a while, you notice that, oh yeah, they're on a different floor, they're in front of offices, and that's what's going on. But that was always confusing to me when they cut back to this particular scene.
Correct. Okay, that's great. So every Thursday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track Holiday Edition, where my guests will give a story about an adventure, misadventure, of something that happened to them, somehow related to the holidays. So you got another story for us?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, this is very tangentially Christmas, because it happened at Christmas time. My dad.
That's good.
My dad was he was a boilermaker in New Jersey and in New York, and for some reason a lot of welders and boilermakers in their families there were boxers, a lot of middleweight boxers and heavyweight boxers and things like that, and my dad was friends with a lot of boxer families. If you ever see the movie Raging Bull, Jake LaMotta and all that. There was a guy named Two-Ton Tony Galento, who was he was a middleweight boxer and had actually beaten Jake LaMotta. Tony Galento ran Golden Gloves in New Jersey, and he would officiate at these things. And this was like the week before Christmas. It was a cold day. We'd go to these Golden Gloves boxing matches where like high school and you know, kids in their late teens, early 20s would be boxing at these things. So we had different celebrity judges coming in, and I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I had tropical fish at home. I had a little aquarium with tropical fish, and there were little fish. There's fire mouths and catfish and things. And one of the chicklids, the tropical fish, was named a Jack Dempsey. They were very strong fighters. And got to this Golden Gloves, my dad said, "Here's somebody you'd want to meet." And it was the boxer Jack Dempsey. And he said hi to my dad, and Mr. Dempsey shook hands with me. He goes, "I'm Jack Dempsey." And I looked at him, and I was all of 7 years old, and I didn't know that the fish had any relation. I said, "I've got a fish named after you at home." And he just laughed. This was and anyway, it was a Christmas story. But I think after that, from what I understood, my dad was friends with Tony Galento, and he said that pretty much for the rest of his life, Jack Dempsey used to tell the story about me and the tropical fish named Jack Dempsey as he'd be doing dinner talks and things like that. So it's just kind of weird that little Christmas week thing became part of his life, just because I had a fish that was his species was named after this boxer. So, and it's very,
oh, wow. That's
I
really
very
cool.
Tangent,
that, that's
it
great.
Was, it was at Christmas time, so I think it counts.
That's fine. It's a great story. Thank you very much for that. So, Jim, you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with Jim O'Kane?
You and I both belong to a group called Movies by Minutes, and we have a really large collection. We're not the only ones that do it. Right now, there are over 200 different platforms that do movies.
As of today, there are 224. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, there's that many, and probably more even as we're recording between now and when this is airing. They just keep growing. Moviesbyminutes.com is where you can find them all. And chances are a movie that you love is up there. Now, if it isn't, we would love to have you as part of the Movies by Minute family. It's really easy to do. If you go to the moviesbyminutes.com site, at the top of the page, there's a Facebook group you can click on, and we'd be happy to chat with you about starting your own show about your own favorite movie. We both got into it, and it's like salted peanuts. You just can't stop. You got to keep going. But check that out. Me and all the other folks doing these podcasts at moviesbyminutes.com.
All right, great. And you can, while you're doing that, go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to this show. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So, Jimmy, you feel like coming back tomorrow and finishing off the week with us?
We'll polish off the week up there with Bill Clay and company.
Certainly. Well, well, well. So we'll see you tomorrow, Jim. We'll see everyone else also. So until then, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!